kind enough to join us is the manager for the Toronto Blue Jays, John Farrell. John, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys here this morning.
I'm sure last night's loss feels no better at 8:46 a.m. than it did around 10:30 last night. A tough one. Do you look at it and say it was maybe the wrong pitch at the wrong time to a guy that, let's face it, Travis Hafner's been a pretty feared hitter and is having a bit of a renaissance this year, but he turned on it and made no mistake about where he put it.
Yeah, there was no mistake about the swing and what took place with the Grand Slam. Unfortunately, things that led up to that point put us in a position where, you know, bring in Frankie to close out a game, things start to get away from him, and then you know, you could argue that it's a little bit of an unfair situation to bring a young left-hander into that situation, but you know, he's been so good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland is more susceptible against left-handed pitching, and you know, he strikes out Brantley, Cabrera gets the base hit, and then the first pitch to Hafner is what it is. But, yeah, a gut-wrenching loss, a very solid outing by Villanueva again, Batista's 29th home run, but the four runs wasn't enough in the end.
Frankie Francisco is can be frustrating for a lot of Blue Jay fans, John. In some games, like a previous game against Boston, he struck out three, and then last night he couldn't get anybody out. As a manager, how do you find some sort of consistency with a guy that you just can't bury him in the bullpen? You have to use him for time to time.
Well, you know, the consistency is, in a word, the most elusive thing at this point. You know, Frankie has shown the ability to have dominant-type stuff against a powerful lineup as Boston is, and we saw what he did the other day. And not that you're anticipating that every time he walks to the mound, but you'd like to think that there's, you know, like you said, a little bit more consistency with each outing that he goes to. We have the pitchers that we're going to run with, and yet we've got to find a way to continually build confidence. At this point, you know, if that means taking Frankie to get a couple of outings to build back the confidence, to get him going in the right direction as we've done earlier in the season, that may be in the cards here as we move forward in the short term.
Do you hesitate using him in the closer role in the next few games till he builds up that confidence?
Well, that's just what I said.
Yeah.
We may have to get him some outings where, you know, he gets some scoreless situations or some clean innings under his belt to build him back to that ninth inning. As we saw last night, that the ninth inning can be a completely different animal than the previous eight just because of the fact that you're the guy on the mound when you're closing out the last out to have on that night. You don't have the luxury of that quote-unquote closer behind you or the safety net that might go along with that from the mindset standpoint. So we've got to build that back into him, and we may look to turn to John Rauch, for the time being to close games out, or Octavio Dotel if we're in an appropriate matchup where it's right on right.
Blue Jays manager John Farrell joining us on Brady and Lang. It's Mitch Talbot for the Tribe tonight. It is, of course, JoJo Reyes on the mound for the Jays on Rogers Sports and Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. One of the real nice surprises for, and it's not just Ricky Romero building into a number one ace pitcher, but it's also been Villanueva, who was a situational guy for you, you know, I don't want to call mop-up guy, but a middle reliever early on. He's had eight starts this season. He seems to grow in confidence with each start leading up to probably his best start of the year last night. When did you know you had, John, a starting pitcher in terms of the mentality and what he could deliver every 5 days?
Well, he has starting history in his background when he was with Milwaukee. So as he's bounced back and forth, that almost seemingly optimal swingman, he can do a number of different roles on a pitching staff. But when we were pressed into the need to put him into the rotation, it was clear that he was taking that same approach where he was so effective for one or two innings, and it was easily extending out over five and six in his first few starts. Then he started to work into the seventh. The combination of his variety of pitches, his overall pitch mix, or his repertoire, in addition to the intelligence and his ability to read swings and disrupt hitters' timing, that's what's made him so effective. And his teammates have grown in confidence when he's around on the mound, and he's done an outstanding job for us.
Well, he looked a little rattled when he hit that kid in the second inning, John, but as well any pitcher would be, but he's able to be mentally strong and keep it together, and I think that was pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the fastball got away from him and hit Lonnie Chisenhall, deflected off the side of the helmet, and then ended up getting him in the cheekbone and the nose as well. We did hear that there were no fractures or any real, you know, severe structural injury last night, which is a good thing. But as you mentioned, Carlos has been very poised in a situation like that, or when he's had men on base, which there were multiple last night, but he still makes a big pitch in a key spot.
John Farrell, our guest, Toronto Blue Jays manager. What happened? You said your piece with what happened on the call with Encarnacion at the plate, but I'm curious to get your overall thoughts in replay and whether they've changed since you've been a player. And we've seen replay get adopted by all the other major sports leagues. I heard what Bobby Cox actually last year was going into the Hall of Fame say he feels like it'd be chaotic, and if managers had challenges and flags, it'd be almost too much. How do you read it, and do you just look at it and say, we got to get the scoring plays right? No matter what transpires, there's going to be human error, but we have to do this right in this day and age.
You know, fundamentally, I would be against replay. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's replay situationally right now with balls on, the home run ball that might be in dispute, I think that gets it right, and we see the delay that can cause at times. They try to expedite it as best they can, but still, there is a delay to it. But then when you start to factor in potential replay on many other different ways, the game is long enough as it is, and we're under such a mandate by Major League Baseball to speed the game up, to make it more fan-friendly. I think the replay would really drag it out even further. Now, setting that aside, how we work together to make the, and I think Jim Leland says it accurately, there is a lot of tension on the field. And in some ways, both sides are looking at situations that can become combustible at times. You feel like, the people in uniform are those to hold one another accountable. It's not a perfect system, yet there's the human element that has always been a part of baseball, and I think that needs to remain. But yet how we work forward to make a better relationship between the two sides, I think, is definitely in need.
John, do you have to almost play the part of the role of sports psychologist today to keep the spirits up of the team from a loss like last night, to make sure they forget about it, erase it from the memory, and start fresh tonight?
Well, the one thing about this game is that because we do play every day, you're focused on the preparation for tonight's game and how we're going to go up against Talbot and look to exploit ways to score runs and finish off a ball game. But a lot of the day is spent with individuals and dealing with some of the challenges they may have currently or the things that they're going through. So I think that's the product of an everyday sport. And we do get feedback every night on how we did. We don't have to wait for a business plan to play out for 3 or 4 months. We're going to know tonight how we did today. And as a result, for instance, there'll be conversations with Frank today just on what the plan would be going forward, try to get him in a proper frame of mind, and then have usage to match that to build that confidence to get him back to where he is optimally.
Before you go, Francisco kind of lost it on a couple of reporters last night. It's going to happen. It's human emotion, and that may have happened at different times in your playing career as a major leaguer. Do you ever get involved? Do you ever have to mediate with media player issues in terms of if you're upset that a guy wrote something about one of your players, or you didn't like the way a player handled a media person? Is that ever part of it as well?
Well, the one thing that we set out in spring training, there were three main pillars that we knew were going to confront us. And one of them is how we deal with frustration, whether that's on the field, whether that's off the field, in the dugout, in the clubhouse. That's part of being a professional. And I think there's a certain expectation that we have as the Blue Jays organization. There's a certain expectation that Major League Baseball has. We have to uphold that. We have to have, a level of composure, and that gets tested at times. That probably gets tested every day. But how we respond to it and how we work within that frustration and balance it out, that has to continually be addressed, and will so in this case again.
John, always appreciate your time and your comments, and good luck tonight getting it back against Cleveland. We greatly appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
There's John Farrell, Blue Jays manager, joining us on the Brady and Lang Show.